You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Dan Orlovsky set to join us here. ESPN football analyst who joins us on the program. Dan, who has the best chance to win, the Rams or the Chargers, in your opinion?
Definitely the Rams. One, established coaching culture with McVay. Two, they've got an absolute superstar quarterback that's proven it year after year after year. I love Justin Herbert, but one year doesn't make me believe that you're going to be the same guy year after year. I think it takes two or three years to really figure out who you're going to be at that position in the NFL. I think that their offensive line has played together longer for the Rams than it has for the Chargers. I love the moves that the Chargers made up front, but that cohesion's got to come together. I think that they've got the best player in football that probably isn't a quarterback, or Travis Kelce and Aaron Donald and Ramsey, two are the best at least. So I would say the Rams, but the Chargers are no question about it coming.
The Zach Wilson showing up for camp now and the expectation level. What do you think the expectations are on Zach Wilson his rookie year?
Yeah, they're unrealistically high because everyone saw what some of the plays that he was a part of in college, some of those jaw-dropping moments, some of those throws where you just go, you're not supposed to be able to do that. If you had asked me that four months ago, my answer is a little bit different than it is now because of the tragedy that happened to Greg Knapp. And that's the kind of the sad truth of the situation. He's walking into a relatively difficult situation right now. I mean, he's going into a room that does not have a guy on that quarterback room or in that quarterback room that has ever taken a snap in the NFL. Now, just because you have a veteran doesn't mean you're going to be great, but goodness, it helps. Imagine trying to learn how to ride a bike and no one can teach you how or no one can show you how, because none of those kids have ever done it in the NFL. I think the second thing is his offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur, the head coach of Green Bay, his brother, he's never called a play in the NFL. And while I love the scheme that he's bringing in, he's been around Kyle Shanahan for a while, calling plays is a completely different animal. I have been around a lot of really, really, really good coaches, super smart, great offensive minds, and they can't call plays because calling play is rhythm and it's art and it's feel. And then third thing is the loss of Greg Knapp. Greg Knapp was one of the best quarterback coaches in the NFL who had just a track record with young quarterbacks. And he's a guy who had experience calling plays in the NFL that I would imagine Mike LaFleur was going to lean on some. And to have those three pieces not in place, that's some real, I mean, obviously real life adversity with his passing, but also some just football adversity with Zach Wilson.
Who should trade for Deshaun Watson and when?
When is when you are 100% sure of what is going to happen with the off-the-field allegations. I don't think you can be 90%. I think you'd rather be late to this party than early. Because what the allegations are real, real stuff, right? And so I think you've got to be really confident in the information that you get, whether that's your own people and what's going to happen or word from the NFL. I think the teams that are attached to him are the two likeliest, whether it's Philadelphia or Miami. You know, both had the capital to do so going into next year's draft. Both have, you know, somewhat question marks at the quarterback position. I think Jalen Hurts is a guy that we've only seen get better over the last 4 years. We've watched him play football, whether it was at Bama, Oklahoma, or last year. And I love the kid, and I love his attitude. Will he continue to progress good enough to be a thrower? And then for Miami, this is a huge year for Tua.
Yeah.
Whether it's expedited or not, it's huge. I mean, they spent three picks on their offensive line in last year's draft. Those guys are going to be much better performance-wise this year. And then those skill position players, I mean, they got four guys that are good players, man. Five guys. Devontae Parker is a good player. Waddle is going to be an impactful guy. You know, Will Fuller, when he's healthy, can go. And those two tight ends, Gesicki's phenomenal. And Hunter Long out of Boston College is a really, really good player. So I think they got some really good skill position guys. He has got to go and play really good football.
Talking to Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership this Saturday. There will be 11 hours of original live programming across ESPN and ABC. Dan will be part of NFL Live back together Saturday from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern. And you can see Dan with Laura Rutledge, Marcus Spears, Chris Mortensen, and Adam Schefter. We always love to give out grades or who won, who lost. How did the Packers do this week, Dan?
I think the Packers had a huge win. I mean, a week ago, it was like, it sounded like Aaron Rodgers not coming. I was adamant, like, I don't think he's ever going to play for Green Bay again. And if you go back to the moment they selected Jordan Love, right, the moment they take Jordan Love and move up in the draft to take him, I would put myself into Brian Gutekunst, their general manager's shoes, and he would say, what's the ideal situation over the next 2 years? He would say, well, our football team's going to be really good. Aaron Rodgers will be our quarterback for at least 2 more years. He's going to play awesome football, and we can develop Jordan Love and still be a contender. Like, that would be the ideal utopia home run situation. Well, that's exactly where they are. And that's why I think, like, the fact that they got him to come back and they don't have to rush that quarterback on the field and he's still going to play high-level MVP football and they're still going to be in the conversation for the NFC title game and the Super Bowl, like, I just feel like that's an absolute home run for the Green Bay Packers. Now, what it means for February of 2022 and beyond, obviously there is going to be some very interesting conversations, but they got their ideal situation, their hopeful situation. And that's why I think Aaron, I think it's all, what did Aaron actually want? Because I've heard people say, well, he was just saying this because he wanted to try to get out after this season, or he really wanted to get out this season. Well, I guess we'll probably never know exactly what he wanted, truthfully. But I just feel like Aaron having to come back and still not exactly control what he can do after this season, you got to feel really good if you're the Packers fan that, you know, you got the best of both worlds, essentially.
Yeah, I think you got him. He's a one-and-doner. I also, you know, Vegas has Packers over under at 10 wins here, Dan. And they're playing in a suspect division. And they have to face the AFC North and the AFC West. Those are arguably the two toughest divisions we have in football. So
yeah.
I think, you know, you can have lofty goals if they're going to win 13 and go to the NFC title game. I wouldn't be so sure with that just because of the schedule that they're going to have to face. They may breeze through, you know, their conference. They may get tripped up by the Bears one time or maybe the Vikings. But AFC North and AFC West, that's tough sledding.
Yeah, Dan, I'll say two things. I think they're a championship roster. I really do. This is the same football team we watched win a ton of games the last years. I don't know if they're a championship team. Like, I just don't know how what has transpired over the last 4 months. I can sit here and say, like, yep, no doubt they're a championship team, because there is those things that you can't measure that matter. And this is a football team that has not focused on football over the last 4 months, at least in the forefront. While Tampa has, and Seattle has, and the Rams have, and Washington has, like, those teams have been locked in on football, and Green Bay hasn't. And I think their schedule is very difficult. I'd say two things that really I'll be focused on, because I think they'll be really good and they'll win a bunch of games, all that stuff. Like, is there a different sense of urgency by everybody? You know, like, well, the coaches coach in certain situations differently because of we got one last year. Like, hey, fourth down, no. And I know I'm not just bringing this title game, that field goal opportunity, but like maybe even the regular season, they'll be more aggressive in certain situations because they know they have a smaller window. And then how often do they keep the main thing, and that's winning. You know, we've watched them bring Randall Cobb back, and Brian Gutekunst, their general manager, said, yeah, it was because, you know, Aaron wanted him back. Well, is that keeping the main thing? Like, how does it all work together? Because there might be decisions throughout the season or moments throughout the season where, like, do they do things or say things or make decisions based upon this might give us the best chance to keep him around after this year, or does it give us the best chance to win? Sometimes those will align and sometimes they won't.
Yeah, it's tricky. You know, when the GM, we applaud Rodgers because of full transparency at his press conference. When the GM, Brian Gutekunst, has full transparency, basically saying, hey, I didn't want to bring in Randall Cobb. We did it. We did it as a favor for Aaron. And then people are like, oh, I can't believe that he said that publicly. I just don't know how much is going to be too much in this situation for the front office to go, Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I was around Matthew Stafford in Detroit when he was a little bit older, and they would always, like, I guess, get his input on certain situations and or certain people. How much they weighed it in different conversations, I don't know. But, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the main thing is the main thing, right? And how I believe that's the case for Aaron. But different vantage points are different vantage points and how they view things differently. And I just – it's obviously a delicate balance that you've got to be very, very good at and very firm with, because general managers are paid to run teams and quarterbacks are paid to be the face of the organization. And that's multifaceted. And they haven't done that enough with Aaron, but you also don't want to give full power to any single individual.
Safe travels there, Dan. It's always great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Dan Orlovsky, former NFL quarterback, ESPN football analyst, and NFL Live back together coming up this Saturday. That'll be noon Eastern, 9 to noon Eastern, with Laura Rutledge, your host, Marcus Spears, Chris Mortensen, and Adam Schefter. Brian in Michigan joins us on the program. Hi, Brian. What is on your mind today?
Hey, guys, real quick. I'm a Packer fan. Just kind of want to give my quick input here. Kind of fascinating, the Packers situation. I've always been kind of curious where he's going to finish his career. I think since 2014, since that NFC Championship loss, he just wore it on his face. He looks so telling that he wanted to make some changes, and it's kind of surprising he's waited till now to actually speak out publicly, not passive aggressive, but actually address the Green Bay media and the folks. But what do you think of this? I don't think he pulls a Favre and sticks it to them by going to a division team. I think he plays in the AFC 1 year. He'd turn into going 40 into 2023. He'd be 40 during the year. I think it goes right to Tampa. Doesn't pull a Tom Brady. He just becomes Tom Brady. And it kind of sets up perfectly. Say Tom plays two more years, Aaron won in the AFC, and he just goes right to the Bucs. I'm sure there'll be a great roster at that point still, and he's got a shot at the Super Bowl, I think.
It's possible, but I don't know if you want to follow Tom Brady. But, Brian, thank you. Plus, the Packers aren't going to let him go. If they're going to trade him and you're giving up pieces for Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to take Aaron Rodgers for 1 year. I mean, Denver makes sense because not winning a Super Bowl, send him to the AFC, and good luck in the AFC West there. That couldn't come back to haunt you. If you let him go to now, you're saying, hey, he could stop over 1 year in Denver. It's just not going to happen because Denver's going to have to give up a lot. And Rodgers doesn't get to pick, hey, I want to go to this team. I mean, I don't think Rodgers is vindictive in a way that Favre was like, I'm going to play for the Vikings. I can't see Rodgers going, I'm going to the Lions and I'm going to come back and haunt you in the division. I just don't see that happening. He's got to win. He's got to win another championship. And this gives him the best chance. Where he goes from there, then he has his say. So this all comes back to Tom Brady. These other quarterbacks went, you see what Brady got to do? He got to bring in his friends. He got to have a seat at the table. These other quarterbacks are going, I'm sure Ben Roethlisberger's like, hello, anybody? I don't know what Drew Brees' input was with Sean Payton. Philip Rivers, what kind of input did he have? How much do you earn? And I want you to help me with free agency. That if I'm a GM, I say to Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, thinking about this guy, what do you think? Got any relationship with him? You think he'd be a good addition? You do. Okay, here's his number. Will you call him? Okay. So he helps you, but that player will help Aaron Rodgers as well. I love that. Now, should Aaron have been consulted on who you're bringing in to be his head coach? Yes, I do believe that. Even if you just give the background and say, hey, we're this guy, Matt LaFleur, but you know, we want you to meet him too. Or we want to give you a heads up here with that. Now, do you tell him, hey, we're going to take Jordan Love? You know, that comes down to what is your relationship or lack thereof with Aaron Rodgers? Because Tom Brady's involved far more than I think everybody realizes. Because why wouldn't I bring him into the inner circle here? But if you're bringing Tom Brady in, then you have to bring him in all the way. If you bring Aaron Rodgers back, then bring him back all the way. The only chance you have to keep him is if you bring him back all the way. Are you going to go above and beyond? Are you going to go overboard? Yes, you will. But the only way you keep him is if you say to him, we're listening to you. We heard you loud and clear. Play of the Day's up next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Speaking of stars, it was pretty exciting. While I was doing the show, and I'm keeping an eye on what was going on with Team USA, the soccer team facing the Netherlands, and then it was a penalty shootout, and then all of a sudden it dawns on me again that Alyssa Nair, the goalkeeper, is somebody I've known. I think she's been like 10 or 11 years of age. She's there stopping these penalty kicks, and I'm acting like she's my daughter. I'm nervous. And Alyssa Nair, the star of Team USA, joining us from the team bus. How do you feel, Alyssa?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for having me. Feel great. Just happy to get the win. Moving on to the semifinals. Big win for us.
Oh, no, no, no. That's so. You're giving me this stock, you know. Come on. You got to be excited.
I am. I'm very excited. This is a good win for us. We needed it. I've been very, very excited. Proud of the team, proud of the group. Came into this just wanting to do what I could to help this team win gold medal, and proud of the performance I was able to put in tonight and help us get one step closer to that.
How nervous were you?
Probably not as much as my parents, but I haven't checked in with them afterwards, but I think they're still standing.
I can't imagine.
Worse for the families.
I was
definitely
nervous.
Worse for the families.
Yeah, I was nervous watching you. But how much scouting reports do you have on penalty kicks with tendencies of players?
It's kind of a mix. Everyone's kind of got their own, routines or, methods of how to go about shootouts and different things. And I think the biggest thing is just trying to stay in the moment, stay, it's focused and, as clear-headed as you can in that moment, and let all of your instincts and training kind of take over, and you just kind of hope for the best from there.
You're on the team bus right now?
I am.
Okay, are you being quiet on purpose because you don't want to be the star here and draw, like if it was Rapinoe, we would be able. She'd be yelling and screaming.
Yeah, there's two different kinds of people in this world.
You look angry. Is that on purpose when you're in goal?
I don't think it's meant to come off as anger, but more of a focus. Kind of thing, just kind of staying in the zone. I guess that's my zone space.
Is it a scowl? Like, are you trying to present something to the opposition?
Really not. I think that's just kind of what my face looks like.
What was the celebration? Was there a celebration after the win?
It's just a lot of, a lot of hugs, a lot of, everyone's excited, everyone's. It's a big one for us. It's going to come quick. We've got another semifinals in 2 days, I think. So we'll be able to enjoy it tonight, be excited. And tomorrow we're going to have to switch gears pretty quickly.
Yeah, you have Canada on Monday. What do you know about Canada?
We played them a few times. So it's always a hard-fought battle with them. Regional opponent, play them often, very familiar with each other, and it's always a battle. So we're going to have to bring our A game to that, and hopefully this game we can kind of ride this high into that game and get a good result.
My best to your parents, and congratulations so far. And how about we don't have it go to penalty kicks next time, Alyssa?
Yes. I'm sure my parents would appreciate that one.
Congrats, and good
Thanks,
luck.
Dan.
All right. That's Alyssa Nair. She's the goalkeeper for Team USA.
That's cool.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Let's make way for Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix, senior NBA writer for Sports Illustrated. Your initial reaction, Mannix, after the Westbrook trade?
a little surprised. So in the last few days, really weeks, the Lakers have basically dangled the Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope package to almost every team that's out there. And they didn't have a lot of takers. But in the last two or three days, there was some traction with Sacramento on a Buddy Hield trade. And if you look at that trade, it makes sense. I mean, Hield's one of those guys that, yeah, you kind of look at him as empty calories in a way, never been on a winning team. But the numbers are what they are. He's been close to or above 40% from three in each of the last four seasons. And when you look at what the Lakers need, perimeter shooting is at the top of that list. Instead, to pivot and to basically deliver that exact same package you were going to send Sacramento for Hield to Washington for Westbrook is puzzling. And I just, you know, I carpet bombed kind of every assistant coach that I know with text and asked them, you know, what do they think? And every one of them said, it doesn't make a lot of sense. If you're LeBron James, what you're looking for is a floor spacer and a secondary playmaker. Russ is not a floor spacer and is a primary playmaker, somebody we know succeeds with the ball in his hands. So
why did they do it?
It's still hard to, I haven't talked to anybody in LA since the deal got done last night, Dan. So I don't know, but there's obviously a strong relationship between LeBron and Russell Westbrook. I wonder what voice LeBron had in all this. I can explain it with Dan. Like, you know, Russ, you know me, I've always been a pretty strong defender of Russell Westbrook. I firmly believe that this triple-double mark he's been putting up over the years is impressive. But for that team, it doesn't make a lot of basketball sense.
I love the Buddy Hield possibility because that's what they needed. Like, who's the point guard on this team now?
That's the thing, because, you know, the last 2 years under Frank Vogel, you know, it was a priority for Vogel to say, LeBron, you are now the point guard. We're going to transition you to being the primary playmaker. Russ is not like Damian Lillard, who you can play off the ball when CJ McCollum is operating as point guard. He's someone that needs the ball in his hands and needs to play downhill in order to be successful. I mean, in like a perfect world, you'd say, Russ, you're the sixth man, and you come off the bench and you be that instant offense guy to carve up second units. But we both know that's not going to happen. So Russ, AD, LeBron, surrounded by Talen Horton-Tucker and I don't know
Caruso.
Who else. Caruso, maybe in that front court. You're obviously going to have to play another big, because we know AD doesn't want to be a five for most of his playing time. So I guess you're talking about Marc Gasol, who's got a contract for next year. It just seems, if you're a team looking at the Lakers, how to defend them, you're going to shrink the floor a lot and make them beat you from three-point range.
Yeah, I know. Plus, Russ has one speed. And can LeBron play at that speed? Are they best at that speed? It's puzzling.
Well, they do want to play up tempo. Like, that's something that's been a staple of what, at least how Frank Vogel wants to play, ideally.
So with LeBron at 37, you're going to be.
Maybe it's a case where LeBron's not, you know, maybe LeBron's not filling the lane anymore. Like, you know, maybe it's the case where Russ just kind of initiates a lot of the up tempo offense and they see if they can get easy buckets that way. Dan, honestly, I'm grasping at straws a little bit here because, you know, defenses are smart. Defensive coaches are smart. They're going to figure out how to shrink the floor and make Westbrook. I mean, look, Dan, you go back to the bubble playoffs. I remember watching in the bubble Lakers against Rockets. I mean, one of the priorities for the Lakers defensively was to take the ball out of James Harden's hands and make Russ shoot.
Yeah.
And he had some good moments, but how they played against Russ is how teams are now going to start playing against them.
Whenever I need a good laugh, I always look at what the 76ers are asking for Ben Simmons. And I don't know what the strategy is unless it's, hey, we're going to ask for all of this knowing that we'll take half of this. But at some point, do teams stop calling because it just seems so preposterous what they ask from the Warriors or what they ask from the Spurs? It's crazy.
Yeah, but I think it's really smart. because if you're not highly motivated to move Ben Simmons, which the Sixers don't need to be, he's under contract for 4 more years. Yes, I think both sides agree that a divorce is probably in the best interest of everyone, but they don't need to do it right now. They're not in the position that New Orleans was in a couple of years ago where they had to move Anthony Davis in order to get something back in return. They can be patient with this. So why not ask for the moon and hope that some GM out there is crazy enough to give it to them? Like, if I've said this to you before, the Sixers are going to be watching Portland. Everybody is. And if you're the Sixers, why not see if there's a Godfather offer out there right now? And if there's not, let's just wait. Maybe that means bringing Ben Simmons to training camp in September, October, and then see what happens with the Trailblazers. Because if you just be patient, you could wind up with some combination of either Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum. And that's going to make your team significantly better. So I think Daryl Morey is playing this perfectly right now. Ask for the biggest possible trade package and see if somebody is crazy enough out there to give it to you.
Well, you've devalued him. The 76ers have devalued him, but then they overvalue him.
Yeah, but how did they devalue him?
Because they're shopping him.
Well, but everybody, no GM is picking up their phone going, wow, you're really going to deal Ben Simmons? Like, everybody knows it. Like, everybody can see how this team
his stock has never been lower, Chris.
It's never been lower, but I do think the more time passes from that playoff performance, you're going to remember the positives more than the negatives. And there are a lot of positives with Ben Simmons. So the worst thing Philadelphia can do is, you know, make a deal that even one that resembles the James Harden deal. I mean, the Rockets didn't get a lot in the James Harden deal. You want something that more resembles like Paul George.
But Harden was devalued because he was out of shape and he wanted out of town. Like, Ben Simmons is in shape. He didn't want out of town. And he's under contract.
He is. Well, yeah, Harden you needed to deal because Harden was, you know, doing his best George Costanza there at the end of his time in
Houston.
They
want a Harden haul, and Ben Simmons isn't James Harden.
Well, they want more than a Harden haul. That's the whole thing. The Harden haul isn't very good. Like, you look back at that deal, what did they get for that? I mean, unless the Nets implode in the way the Nets imploded 10 years ago, that's not going to be a very good haul of draft picks. They want the Paul George haul. They want something that closer resembles that. And honestly, Dan, I think they might be able to get it at some point. Mm-hmm. Like, it might be in their best interest to rehabilitate Ben Simmons next season, isn't it? Like, if you can just remind people how good this guy is, like a year or so removed from being what? All NBA second team, all-star, a perennial all-star with a lot of positives. Maybe you remind people of that. Maybe that stock goes higher.
I do think he needs to sort of disappear from an elite playoff team. I think he needs to hit a reset button so he can kind of play a game without everybody analyzing everything he does.
I think more than anything, he needs to, not that I buy into like players that post stuff on Instagram of them working on stuff. I think that's a little, that's the new, I don't know what that is, but it's the new goofy thing that players do. But I haven't heard much about, you know, all this work Ben Simmons is doing on his shot, and it's almost August. Like, that's what we heard,
Chris,
right?
I've worked on my shot more this summer than Ben Simmons has. I can guarantee that. And my shot is already very good.
Yeah, well, I've seen your shot. Yes, I'm aware. It's your strength. But I hope Ben Simmons is doing some things because training camp is a month and a half, 2 months away. And are we still going to be right back to where we started with Ben? Because that would be a nightmare for the Sixers.
It's always great to talk to you, Chris.
Dan, big deal last night was Ricky Rubio has a new team.
Yeah, I think that's his fifth team.
I think it's more than five, but
no. Is it all-star five? Teams?
Well, I mean, if the Cavaliers make the playoffs this year, it's not going to be because of Evan Mobley. It's not going to be because of Colin Sexton. It's going to be because the reunion between Ricky Rubio and Kevin Love propelled them into the postseason.
It was 3 years ago today. We gave you a buzz cut. We changed your life with the haircut we gave you and improved your social game dramatically.
There's really nothing that can do that, Dan. I don't. Social game is pretty low these days. I got to tell you. Ricky Rubio, FIBA Ricky Rubio is something.
You're the
FIBA Ricky Rubio is a real thing.
You're the Ricky Rubio of dating. A lot of hype, not a lot of production. No real all-star appearances. No loyalty.
I would say I have loyalty. I will. Ricky's loyal. He just keeps getting dumped. Like I do.
Like you do.
Correct.
Have a great weekend.
You too, Dan.
See you, bud. It's Chris Mannix. Does he regret coming on every time he joins us?
It's like Charlie Brown in the football.
Yeah.
He comes on. He has some fun.
Am I Lucy?
Yeah.
Because there's like always one angle that we go after him for that he didn't see coming.
I know.
And there's no way that he somehow saw Ricky Rubio being tied into his own dating life.
I know.
There's no way he saw that coming.
But he lost a bet, and then we gave him a buzz cut.
Well, his hair was very, it was out. It was like kind of a Manchi chief.
It was mushroom cloudish.
Yeah, and we tightened up his game, and he stayed with it.
What was that bet that he lost? Do you guys remember McLevin?
Was it Ricky Rubio related?
It was something to do with a team that would be in the NBA Finals.
Oh.
And they didn't make it.
Lakers? Not making the coming. No, that was recent. Remember he said they wouldn't make the playoffs?
Well, yeah, you said, more likely that the Lakers wouldn't make the playoffs the year they won the title.
Yeah, but I think that was after he had the buzz.
Yeah, that didn't go well.